We'll call the Board of Supervisors to session. Supervisor Obert, will you lead us in the pledge, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Chaplain Bradley, thank you.
Father, we're grateful once again to be participating in the activity of our government. We thank you for what you have put in our hearts and our lives and our ability to serve people. I'm so appreciative of our Board of Supervisors and our county staff who support the communities and support the people. And the difficult times that we are faced with right now, and how difficult it is to make decisions about spending money, and all of us are affected by that. Give us understanding, give us insight, give wisdom as decisions are made. And Father, we just want to do all things that would help one another and encourage people to enjoy their lives. We give you thanks for all those who serve. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Chaplain Bradley. I believe now it's roll call, Ms. Wendy.
Yep. Supervisor Howe?
Here.
Supervisor Cobbs?
Here.
Supervisor Chris?
Here.
Supervisor Ogren?
Present.
And Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
And real quick, the board will be convening today as the Flood Control and Water Conservation District Siskiyou Power Authority, County Service Area 4, and the In-Home Supportive Services Public Authority, and receives no additional compensation.
All right, and then out of just forming this into habit, anything to add to the agenda? Mr. Kieran and Ms. Davis?
I have no items.
All right. All right, now it's presentations from the public. This time slot is for information from the public. No action or discussion will be conducted on matters presented at this time. You'll be allowed 3 minutes for your presentation. The chair can extend the time to 5 minutes for appropriate circumstances. Written comments can be presented, if so desired, by providing a minimum of 7 copies to the clerk. When addressing the board, please state your name for the record prior to providing your comments. Please address the board as a whole through the chair. Comments should be limited to matters within the jurisdiction of the board. And I see, I'll go ahead and do it online first.
Agree 100%.
Ms. Alice Rogers.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. My name is Alice Rogers. I'm from Mount Shasta, California. And just a couple of quick comments. First, I'm watching as COVID continues to increase in Siskiyou County, 109 new cases, positivity rates over 10%, 16% the week before, 12% this past week. And so much so that the health department had to put out an announcement about COVID spreading again. I appreciated the announcement. I noticed that the word vaccine wasn't in the announcement. I noticed that our county has still not been able to break the 50% vaccination rate. I wish that the supervisors would take some responsibility and get the word out. Let people know we need to get vaccinated. This becomes a place where people are not going to want to come because it's dangerous. There's people here spreading COVID and not being proactive. Anyway, just a note about that. My other thing, hopefully I'm within my time frame, is about these meetings. I've been trying to come to these meetings, but it can get frustrating. I don't understand why there can't be a video feed so we can see what's going on. When the board members talk, it's hard to identify who's talking. The audio quality is not great. When people are calling in from Zoom, you can hear, but the people in that room, it's really hard to hear, and it's hard to understand what's going on. I know the Waurika City Council has meetings that they're able to conduct with a video feed, and you can see who's talking, and it makes it a lot easier to follow along. So it would just be a request for me if we can't kind of modernize the setup that's here and get it so that it's more public friendly. And that's all I have today. I appreciate you taking my time. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Alice Rogers. Any more online? Anna?
Sure, none online.
Great. With that, Ms. Holly Hanser. There you go.
Good morning, Board of Supervisors. Thank you very much. I'm here with my 2000 Mules DVD that I just picked up from our police chief, Mayberry. Justin Mayberry, he just returned it to me. And after here, I'm going to give it to the police chief of Wairega and or the sheriff. This is a law enforcement issue. On the January 6th committee, Liz Cheney said that this was debunked. That is an absolute lie. This has not been debunked. Cell phone records show, at least some part of the country, we're not talking here right now, there were hundreds of mules carrying ballots through the night from 1 a.m. to 4 a.m., et cetera, et cetera. So I encourage anyone who hasn't seen this to go ahead and watch it. And if you'd like me to lend it to you after I get it back from the local police department or sheriff, I'm happy to lend it out yet again. I have one copy, but this is for sharing, one by one by one. So, 1,000 cuts and 1,000 ways, how many ways, oh Lord, can monkey business be done? I think that I was very glad to vote, and I asked the poll worker, God bless him, about this thing being connected to the internet, and he said no, but I still don't know who counts it or when they count it. So I would encourage all of you to listen to the Arizona hearings coming up at the end of this month with Javon Hutton Pulitzer, finally there listening to him, and the kinematic artifact detection and how he was able to tell what happened to the paper ballots. Our county clerk is innocent. Everybody here, the poll workers are wonderful. But there are ways that things can be done, a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit there, that changes an election. So Michael Kossoff's congratulations and everybody else, but we're having another election coming up and we just had one. So we think we're immune, but we may or may not be immune to little monkey business here and there that has not anything to do with our county specific and how these things are vulnerable and how the paper ballots are the way to do it. One day, one vote is recommended unless one's ill or what have you. Mail-in ballots are part of the hack. We're learning Maricopa, as we saw from 2000 Mules in Yuma County, Arizona. And you can believe it or not, but if you want facts and not just emotionalism and not just hype, please, I forget exactly what date, but look for it at the end of this month. Javon Hutton Pulitzer will be available online, public to before the Arizona Senate, and it tells how the many ways that, at least that with his diagnoses of how this is done. Javon's technology is on every single cell phone, whether it's Apple or not Apple, whatever. And so he's a technologist. And so thank you very much. I was able to get here, even at $7 a gallon, whatever it is, gas. And I came here specifically for this purpose yet again. Thank you for listening, and I hope we can get something on the agenda on this topic. The deer in the headlights sometimes me and sometimes you guys, but thank you very much.
Thank you, okay, Ms. Asher. I also appreciate how you always compliment the county clerk. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Seeing no other public comment, we'll go to the consent agenda. I'm going to pull item N. I'll recuse myself from that one. But for my colleagues, I'm going to ask B. 5B.
B like boy?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Any other colleagues? With that, I'd make the motion for other than B as in boy, as in Nancy. And there's a second.
Okay. All righty. Supervisor Howe?
Aye.
Supervisor Kossoff?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris?
I'll be an aye. We'll do item B first.
Sure. Ms. Davis, I just want to, I guess, get a grounding on this. I know the board has indicated that we need to do a compensation study. I don't know that more or less the rest of the board, contemplated spending, what is it here, $96,000 towards that end. What will that provide us?
Good morning, board members. Angela Davis, County Administrator. The compensation study will do just that. It will study all of We have a certain limit of positions, which is the majority of our positions, that will be studied versus other comparable contiguous counties, looking at the benefit structure as well as the salary structure. And at the end of the day, they will provide a findings result for us, and which will be presented to the board for decision making as to whether or not we pursue those findings that are presented to us at the end of this study. I would like to make note that the RFP was issued and we did receive respondents, and this particular firm was the winning bid. However, we did go into negotiations because their first initial bid was over $300,000. And so thanks to staff, Melissa Cummins, our deputy CAO, being able to negotiate that dollar down to the $96,000, which would be more suitable for Siskiyou County and our needs for this scope of work. So,
thank you. I'm just trying to, I mean, that's basically an FTE, and I, you know,
correct.
I know there's a lot going on. We're getting ready to do budget. There's not a better way to do this. I guess my concern is that we get a piece of paper handed to us that has findings, and then we get to all make a decision and may not make a decision and say this is good, bad, or indifferent, but yet $96,000 is going out the door.
Correct.
So I'm a bit apprehensive about it. I mean, I understand why, and you know, that the board gave direction to that, but I didn't realize we were going to spend that kind of money. So I'm just not sure about it.
Okay.
Is it a valuable tool for your office, or is it something your office can pull together, or even department heads, or even within the employee structure itself? Is there a way to pull this? Because in the past, we've dealt with the, what is it, the five counties that we've looked at that we've used as a guide in the past.
Correct. Unfortunately, the research and the analysis that is needed to do a formal salary compensation study is definitely more productive with a firm or a company that specializes in that type of analysis. By all means, we could have staff set aside days to be able to do that. However, you're working with the bargaining units, and we want to make sure that they understand this is a fair and equitable process, that there wasn't any kind of unfavorable analysis. So we want to make sure that we're above board. And I understand the cost. That was my concern from day one. It has always been my concern with salary compensation studies. They all seem to be extremely expensive. And so, like I said, we did go out for an RFP with the hopes and the dreams of coming up with something economical. And so we were able to negotiate down, but still, I understand the concern. And it is written in one of the MOUs that we would be doing this. So it's also trying to, again, uphold the stipulations that we have in front of us with the MOUs as well.
So with that said, the MOU in place and saying that we would do this, those that have signed on to the MOU, they didn't have any idea that this was going to be the cost either, correct? Other than nobody knew until this came.
Correct. Not until we conducted an RFP. Nobody could, I pretty much knew just because of industry standard. But as far as those that are involved, no, it would be until we receive the RFP and to see if we actually received any respondents, and then going through that process. So,
thank you.
Anything else, Sir? No. Sir, raise your hand. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It seems a little steep to me as well. I have some concern with that. The bigger concern I have, though, I guess, is that it's only one piece of the puzzle. And it's good to disclose comparatively pay here versus somewhere else, because we're confronted with that a lot, not only by our employees, but also by the public, constantly, about the salaries in the county. My apprehension, I guess, is that we're going to get this clarity and not be able to do anything with it. And I say that because the second piece that needs to be done, from my perspective, is if the pay is not commensurate with other counties, where do we go from there? The only place we can go is another look at whether or not the money we do have we're spending efficiently. So that's the key component to me, is in the government efficiencies within each budget that would have to be captured in order to realize any increase in salary or normalization between the counties that we're looking at. That's my two cents.
And I agree with everything you say.
Supervisor Ellsworth.
Yeah, I don't disagree with my colleagues here. I think for me, part of it's perception. The unfortunate reality is we're in labor negotiations. I think this should have been done well before, so, in the era of transparency. I do have concern with the cost. Everyone deserves a raise around here. I can tell you right now, the compensation study is going to tell us that we're underpaying across a lot of boundaries here, which we have always had as long as I've been a supervisor. And we always struggle to allocate limited resources. Mm-hmm. And I struggle with that as a board member, and we have our disagreements, but the fact of the matter is we're never going to be able to play catch up with the bigger entities that are struggling. And so having said that, I at this moment I can't support it. I would rather look at this after we get into past our labor negotiations.
Okay.
Said, okay, this is where we are. How do we get there? Because I need the employees to buy in on this. Right now the employees are not going to buy in, and I just spent $115 to fill up. I know what fuel prices are doing to everyone's bottom line here. So I think we need to look at it from a wider, with better buy-in. So for me, it's just a bad time report for me.
Completely understood.
That's right, Roger.
I too agree with everything that's been said. And another concern I have is if we do have something like this done, how long is it good for? With a changing economy every day, you look at something like this, and then the minute you get those results, they're really not valid. So we spend that money, and then those numbers that we have change instantly.
Right.
So, but you have to have a baseline somewhere. You have to have something to work with. But I also agree that maybe the timing isn't right.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Absolutely.
Just to follow up, so should this not be approved and it's tied to an MOU, what's the consequences of that?
We would notify the MOU representative that the board did not adopt the agreement, and then we would go from there and have discussions and meet and confer or what have you as to other options or availability of being able to determine salary studies.
So along that order, can we just push pause on this and go back to those MOUs and just say, look, it's $96,000. Do you really want to suspend that kind of money going down that path?
We can absolutely do that as well.
So that we're trying to honor it, but at the same time, we're trying to hold back some reserve money that we're going to need for ongoing negotiations. So
correct.
Is that?
That's absolutely an option as well.
Okay.
With that, can we utilize our own resources and try to fill the gap to honor the MOU?
I am not going to guarantee that because, again, like I said, it's the staff time that it takes to do this type of research and analysis is quite extensive. And so whether or not there'd be a cost savings if we did that, we could definitely pin that out and see how that works. But again, I absolutely understand the caution of this amount of dollars for a salary study. So I'm right there with you.
Supervisor Ellsworth.
So for me, I would like to see us table this till after the negotiations are done and they get them to buy in. Hey, is this the kind of money you want to see this county spend for something that we already basically know? And because I can assure you, because I've been at this, Supervisor Cobb, we've been at this long enough, we will get beat up for spending money because that should have gone to whatever, X, Y, Z. And so I need those employees to buy in because this is significant money. But it's valuable information. I don't disagree with that.
Correct.
I just, again, back to the timing. So I say we kick it down the road till we get new negotiations.
Absolutely.
And revisit this and get the employees yay or nay. Give us that feedback.
Okay. Absolutely. Yeah.
Do you need a motion on that table, or just
fine with it? Nobody makes the motion pass, it doesn't pass.
All right.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
It must be budget day.
Well, no, this is a conversation for any day, actually, when you're talking about that amount of money for a contract. So,
well,
no, I absolutely.
It really shows how important the employees are to this organization, how much we value them. So, you know, again, me and Cobb's have been long enough. We get beat up all the time for, you know, so I want to be even more transparent when we're dealing with this.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm going to recuse myself from it. We used to work, my wife and I used to work for this company, so I'll just be stepping out first.
By the time you get to it, you can come back.
All right.
Move to approve. Wait a minute.
You're moving?
Mm-hmm.
Second.
All in favor? Aye.
I got to do roll call. Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsa?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Valenzuela? Thank you.
Hey, Brandon. All right.
There was my chance.
Hey, you were being transparent. I like that.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Okay. All right. Talking about union negotiations and those things right now.
Yes.
Good news. Item 6A. Ms. Cummins, the personnel with the probation department.
Good morning. This thing feels like it shrunk. Good morning. I'm Melissa Cummins.
Joe Burgess.
Come over here. Like somebody's standing behind me. I'm Melissa Cummins, Deputy County Administrator for Personnel and Risk Management, and I have a couple guests with me this morning. So first off, I have Joe Burgess, Supervising Probation Officer and President of the Siskiyou County Probation and Juvenile Peace Officers Association. I have Ryan Betts over here, Deputy Probation Officer, too, a bargaining team member for the same unit, and then Danielle Hall behind me, who is a Supervising Probation Officer with the unit as well. So this morning we are here to present the successor MOU between the county and the Siskiyou County Probation and Juvenile Peace Officers Association for the term June 14th through September 21st of 2024. Just to summarize the major changes in this MOU, it does include salary adjustments. On the low end is 10.76%, high end is about 11.39%. And you'll recall from our previous presentations on MOUs, we had some issues with our salary schedule. So we are adjusting the salary schedule to make everything correct. So that's why there's a little bit of a difference there. Those salary increases will take effect July 10th, 2022. We also increased the uniform allowance for all classifications to $44 per pay period. We have the same tiered contribution between the employees and the county, similar to the other MOUs that we brought before the board recently, which is moving from 100% county paid to an 85-15 split over a three-year period. Starting July 1st, the county will provide the vision insurance for the employees and their family at 100% county paid. We also memorialize medical contributions and dental contributions for our retirees from this unit. And we are eliminating short-term and long-term disability. With this unit, we did extend that deadline 1 year compared to our other MOUs, so that will go away in December of 2023. And then most of the other language changes that we've done in all of our other MOUs in cleaning up to bring it into compliance with regulations to make sure we're on board with that. I would like to thank the members of this unit. Our first meeting was less than a month ago, and within a month we had a meeting now before you, and within a month's period with a new MOU ready for your approval. So I want to thank them for coming to the table, being super collaborative with the county, and working together to get here today. Obviously, we want to also thank Michael Jarvis from LCW, our labor negotiator, for his assistance throughout the process, and then Steve Allen, the representative for the unit as well, and lastly, the board for your support. I'm really happy to answer any questions if you have any.
Colleagues?
I want to know what they think about a salary schedule study.
We're just talking about that. Yeah, by the way, the language is in their MOU, but we were chatting back.
It is or isn't?
It is. Same language as all the other units.
I told Melissa that we'd have to bring it before the rest of the union and discuss it further.
As well, you should. Yeah. But I appreciate you guys settling and getting to this. I appreciate you beyond me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Greatly appreciated. Leave this behind us. And let us know on the salary survey, because I don't know. I mean, I get the drift, but I just don't want to spend money that's just going to put a piece of paper on the shelf.
Understood.
And then, for me, probation officers are really, in many respects, walking resource centers and helping everybody out. I mean, you're helping all sorts of folks in all sorts of circumstances, keeping the public safe, but also working as an opportunity to give somebody that may have made a wrong choice or mistake in life an opportunity to succeed and move past all that. So your work's greatly appreciated. Like I said, you guys are really walking resource centers yourselves.
Wear many hats.
You do.
Yes, we do.
You do that. If there's any other comments, or I'll entertain a motion.
Through the chair.
Oh, absolutely.
Angela Davis, County Administrator. I, too, just wanted to say thank you, because I very much appreciate your coming to the table and selling so quickly. It's, you know, I've been doing this for many, many years, and I would say that you're in the top two for the collaboration and the professionalism, and so to get to that MOU so quickly, I just truly appreciate it. So thank you.
With that, any comments from board, or entertain a motion?
Second.
Motion and second.
Okay. Supervisor Hopp?
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbs?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris?
Absolutely yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for coming, too.
With that, we'll do item 5B, Mr. Dean.
Very good morning to you, board, and Chair Chris, Dr. Dean, Community Development Director. Item 6B, I believe. This is relative to our fee schedule with the Planning Department. On April 5th, staff came to the board for the status of the planning division, both with fees and also to take a look at updating the general plan for the county. At that time, fees were presented, essentially the state of the planning division, and fees were basically 75% subsidized. That was discussed. Also, we had some issues with pass-through costs for CEQA. We were given direction to hold off on the fees at this point. However, to move forward with adjusting the fee schedule to allow for us to have pass-through costs less than 10% for the other CEQA projects, which would include the mitigated NIG deck and also the native deck projects. So we have made those adjustments in Article 16 of the ordinance to allow for that. Also, there were some changes we made with SMARA, very, very small, that were in here. There was a time frame of 60 days changed to 30 days, which has been adjusted in Article 16 also. So that pretty much wraps that up as far as the ordinance changes that we have. So any questions regarding that?
And I'm going to check myself. I've always called Hop. I want to make sure I say it right.
Doesn't matter.
You don't matter. Okay. I've heard you say it different ways. Okay. Supervisor Hop.
You won't come close to anybody else's name in the room. So.
That's true. Sir, you get to go.
Maybe I'm missing something. I'm wanting to know what kind of money we're talking about here. I looked and looked and looked for a fee. So what? The dollar amount are we talking about here? The 10% of what?
So there's a range, right? So right now with the EIR projects, we have the ability, consultant is hired by the applicant, and they pay for the process to get through CEQA.
Okay.
We get a 10% admin fee with that.
Okay.
And this is off our expense item, basically, within the budget. Historically, we have been getting killed, if I may say so, with mitigating the deck and declarations, CEQA process, basically the same. We have been absorbing that cost, average probably $30,000 per project. So this would put that on the applicant for the CEQA review. So
okay.
It's going to vary project to project. It could range from $10,000 to $50,000. Just a
Okay. A simple project.
Ballpark.
Ballpark, simple project. 7,500 to 10,000.
Okay. That helps.
Yeah. Mid range, 50 to 75.
Okay. Thank you.
Supervisor Krause.
So, and I mean, when you say that we've been absorbing that, those costs have been coming right out of the general fund, correct?
Correct.
For a project.
Correct. Yes.
It's unfortunate, but I don't know. We can't do it. That's an impossibility.
Yeah. Things have become quite complex, right? So, 10 years ago, flat fee was less onerous.
Right. Understood. Thank you.
Do you anticipate that projects are not going to be done because individuals cannot afford to pay for this?
You know, they're going to have that cost more, and obviously it will be a bigger burden on them. Price of doing business, essentially, what it boils down to. So, do the taxpayers pay for it, or the applicant pays for it?
And is there a procedure that will be in place to give to individuals so that they can move through the process easily enough so there's not a hang up, so that they know how to go through the CEQA process?
Yeah, and I would just say generally with projects of this scope, and I will have a TAC meeting with all members present, with the county, with the applicant, discuss their goals and do the process would be expected. Essentially determine who their contractor is going to be, how they're going to get paid, timelines established.
Because so. It's frustrating enough for them to try to get through a project not to have that be the hang up.
Yeah.
Supervisor Howell?
Two follow-ups. What's the volume of business we're dealing with on an annual basis number from this?
To this level, I would say half a dozen, you know, to a larger scale.
And I guess from a cost standpoint, I know for projects involving state roads and things like that, that cost will be passed on to the consumer, bidder, or whoever's doing the project. What is the volume of small independent projects for private use?
Probably along the same lines. We have small, you know, mine operations. Basically, what else do we have? Anything that's going to go through use permit process, since it's going to require CEQA events.
So this is events as well.
Yeah, it could be anything that's going to require a use permit. Has CEQA associated with it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Compliance is difficult already with the fees that the state imposes, but I understand the issue of having to do business in the county and having to make ends meet here too. So I just assume pay us than pay Fish and Game.
Agreed.
Supervisor Copsett?
Does this actually expedite a project because with them taking on their own cost, it's contracting out at a different service and not bogging down the county system? Because I think that's kind of the backlog and why we're even considering this. Is that correct?
Right, very much so. Yeah, so you can hire a professional consultant. You know, they have their whole team, they have their whole CEQA process dialed. It's much more expeditious.
Even though it's more costly, and I get it, but I mean, we're not getting anywhere the way we're going now. It's a bogged down system.
Correct.
I mean, yeah. That's not a criticism, it's just...
It's a reality.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not a fast process.
Understood. It's unfortunate, but I don't know what else we do. It's almost like an unfunded mandate that we're dealing with, but
yeah, in a sense.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That and all I was going to just repeat what Supervisor Cobbs has said. That's why I could support this. Yeah. So, wishes of my colleagues?
Would you approve?
And that's the recommended motion with the second on the July 5th.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'll second, unless another colleague wants to.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Okay, Supervisor Hall.
I guess.
Supervisor Kopseff?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris?
I'll be an aye.
Thank you.
County Council, item 6C.
Chairman?
Oh, yes.
Before I retire, just want to give a brief update regarding the general plan update.
Okay.
So we have worked in the CEO's office, and there's been $1 million of ARP money set aside for us to move forward with the general plan update. We have a draft RFP currently moving forward, so just grateful for that. Thank you for the support on it.
We need another million, though, right?
Maybe we can probably fit that other million and a half is what we're trying to do.
Good. Okay. Good.
Great. Thank you. Thanks
Thank
for
you for letting me interrupt, sir.
That's right. County Council, the fireworks issue, item 6C. Oh, CEO.
Good morning, Chair, Board Members, Angela Davis, County Administrator. Before you today is an urgency county ordinance pertaining to the prohibition of fireworks within the unincorporated areas. For your review questions, it is kind of speaks for itself just because of the drought and the dryness and fire hazards. This is a step that we believe will be taken in the right direction to at least minimize as much as possible with the 4th of July holiday coming up. So with that.
So this is something I have brought forward. You know, every year it seems like I was getting calls, particularly from South County, because of the cities were allowed the fireworks, and they both city of Benson Rush House have banned the fireworks. I think this just puts us in sync. The fire danger the way it is, I think it's better to err on the side for safety. I think it's a no-brainer from my perspective, but I get that, you know, the fundraisers that were associated with that, but you know, we have to look at it from the bigger picture of the fire danger, particularly in South County.
Any other colleagues?
Move to approve.
I'll second, unless somebody else wants.
Second.
Supervisor
okay.
Kopseff seconds.
Give me a
sec. I will call.
Okay, Supervisor Help.
Aye.
Supervisor Kopseff.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yes.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Thank you.
And this doesn't affect the legal fireworks, it's like Lake Siskiyou, the professional.
Correct, right. The professional, yes.
Ms. Joy Hall, I know you're going to be here for the ordinance later on. So I'm going to put you off until we vote and consider the ordinance before we get in. We'll try to put the horse before the cart. All right. We're going to go straight to public hearings, which is item number 12. And with all the department heads here, we're going to do item 12A, county administration, the budget first. So with that, Ms. Wendy, we'll go through the hearing protocol. I'll officially open the hearing.
The work is here somewhere. This is the public hearing to consider adoption of the fiscal year 22-23 recommended budget, and it will include county department budgets, committed accounts, capital improvements, fixed assets, contributions to others, statement of salaries, and adoption of a resolution amending the Siskiyou County salary schedule and position allocation list.
Right. With that, Ms. Angela, I'll turn over to you for staff reports. Direction.
Yes, thank you again, Chairman Chris, members of the board, Angela Davis, County Administrator. It is my pleasure to be able to present to you today for adoption a balanced budget. I have Sherry Lawson, who is our Deputy County Administrator, Chief Fiscal Officer, who will bring forth more details with the budget. But first, I do want to bring out a couple of points. First and foremost, I would like to thank our Auditor Controller, Diane Olson, our Assistant Auditor Controller, Bob Cummins, and the Accountant Auditors that worked with us on this budget to be able to present to you today, as well as Sherry Lawson, who worked tirelessly on this budget, and of course, the department heads and their fiscal staff that just presented budgets that we were able to work with and be able to come to a successful completion of this process. But if you notice, the names that I mentioned are all brand new. So it was quite the feat to be able to have such a seamless, successful process with absolutely 100% new staff working a county budget. So that, I think, speaks to just the caliber of employees that we have and the caliber of staff that work with our fiscal means with this county. And so I'm incredibly proud and incredibly thankful and grateful to each of them for their efforts to bring us here today. Also, I did want to point out that if you recall, a year before last, we had our budget hearings, and we then had to go back out to departments to request a 25% reduction in overtime and extra help, as well as a 20% reduction in their fuel. And so last year, after the budget meetings, we then had to go back out to departments again with a 10% reduction based upon at the discretion of the department head. So the department head could then review their very own budgets and decide where within their budgets they were going to reduce that 10%. This year, victory, there were no additional reductions that needed to be made. We had our budget hearings, and no further reductions were made. And so for me, that is always the goal. And so for us to be able to attain that goal, I'm again just very excited and pleased and honored that we have such a great group of staff and fiscal to be able to come to that table and be able to work together to be able to present to you this budget today. So with that, I would like to have Sherry Lawson come up and have the presentation for our fiscal year 22-23 budget.
Good morning. Sherry Lawson, Deputy CAO, Chief Fiscal Officer. As Angela said, we are presenting a balanced budget to you today. I do want to build a little more on what Angela said, touch on some highlights of the budget, and then open it to you for questions. The budget presented before you today totals $348,197,177 for all funds, which is an increase of $27,433,247, or 8.55% over this fiscal year's adopted budget. This figure includes revenues of $166,954,596 and appropriations in the amount of $181,242,580. You may be asking why the 8.5% increase in this budget, so I thought it would be helpful to point out that the large factor to this increase is due to new funding sources, both COVID and non-COVID related, mainly in non-general fund departments. The 22-23 payroll projections contained within the recommended budget also include wage increases as an anticipated result of current and upcoming labor negotiations. As Angela said, as I said at the beginning of this, we are presenting to you a balanced budget, so I would just like to walk through how we arrived there. We asked departments this year to prepare a budget that was status quo.
Is this the budget right here?
Yes.
The computer.
We asked departments to present a budget that was status quo based on their 21-22 adopted budget. We did hold in-person budget meetings this year, and during those budget meetings, we identified line items that were not status quo. Those were discussed with department heads, and we made modifications in real time to their budgets during those meetings. When the meetings were over, the general fund analysis was prepared, and we found that the recommended budget department requests resulted in a deficit of $4,248,836. In order to address this deficit, we first applied the projected 21-22 fund balance carryover of $3,141,956. This carryover amount brought budget deficit down to $1.1 million. The remaining deficit was reduced to zero by additional budget modifications, including the identification of some revenue sources that are expected in 22-23, but were not included in department requests. We identified two positions that were scheduled to be removed from the budget but had still been included in the budget projections, and we utilized the budget stabilization fund. Once this was all taken into account, we were able to come back to departments to let them know that no further reductions were necessary to their budgets and that we had balanced our budget. Without the general fund carryover, a balanced budget would not be possible. I want to strongly caution that we may get to a point where we don't have general fund balanced carryover, so we really need to be conservative with our spending. Speaking of being conservative with our spending, our personnel adjustment request for this next fiscal year totaled over $4 million. And that's $4 million in new funds. $3 million of that was general fund dollars. If a department was able to present to us a cost-neutral action to support the request, meaning reducing a line item, cutting an unnecessary position to fund their request, we did include that in the recommended budget, as you will see in the personnel resolution contained within the packet. But because we were unable at this time to fiscally support $3 million in new requests, we had to place all general fund personnel requests on hold until the adopted budget is completed. At that time, we'll reevaluate where the budget falls and see if we can support any of these new requests for sustainability and address it during adopted budget. This fiscal year, I just want to update you a little bit on ARPA. That's the American Rescue Plan Act. We received our first round of funding this fiscal year, and so we have been using that funding on various projects. Some of those include funding to purchase computers for multiple departments. We have committed money to the Sheriff's Office to purchase new bulletproof vests for the deputies, upgrades to deteriorating county-owned buildings, and we are helping community development with general plan update, among many other projects. This has greatly helped reduce the burden to general fund and to provide an opportunity to make purchases that we may have normally not been able to do. It is important to remember that this is a one-time funding source. It will be gone by December 2026, so we are doing our best to ensure that ARPA funding is being expended on projects that are sustainable and that benefit the county.
Can I just interject there?
Sure.
I think we were looking at like one-time projects, not ongoing spending, because
correct.
We know we won't be able,
correct.
Won't be able to
yes.
continue with it.
Correct. Correct. Right.
Thank you.
We conducted mid-year budget reviews this year. Nothing alarming was found, so we will continue to conduct our mid-year budget reviews. It's really become an essential tool that has helped departments assess their total budget to ensure that they're meeting their overall financial goals, both for the department and for the county. If any modifications to the budget are needed after this review, which happens in January, we will come back to the board and present that to you. Lastly, I just want to say that I'm extremely grateful to all the departments for their willingness to work with us as a team. It has really been incredible. I would like to thank you, Board of Supervisors, for your support in this process. And I really want to give a huge shout out to Diane Olson, our Auditor Controller, and Bob Cummins, our Assistant Auditor Controller. They have been incredibly generous with information, and they have shared tools for budgeting that have never previously been shared with fiscal staff. It really was a game changer, and it made this whole budget process go smooth. So thank you, Diane.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. And with that, Angela and I will be more than happy to answer any questions you may have for us.
We'll get to that pretty soon.
Am I allowed to ask some questions?
Or not yet, not yet. No. Be a chance for public comment. No. Presentation of correspondence. Which correspondence may read? Any correspondence, Ms. Wendy?
None at the clerk's level.
Okay. Presentation of reports or arguments or evidence by other county departments or public agencies. I won't put Diane on the spot. Proponents, arguments, and or evidence. Opponents. Any public comments? If you do have public comment, please come up to the speaker there, and then... if you could just fill out one of the blue forms, it makes it easier for Ms. Winningham to put it in the reports.
Hi, I'm Ms. Steinberg. I don't know if you remember, but I was here last month, and you guys put me on the thing to turn in a report today, 3 minutes long. But actually, I just have some questions.
I need your name for the record.
Ann Steinbrenn.
Thank you.
Anyways, my question was, I have to reach the accountants, I guess, or whatever they were talking about today, because the report that I have, the report I'm making for you guys, unfortunately, is not complete today. I found that the things that I was asking for is going to take a little bit more work. But I want to make sure that the report I'm giving you guys is very good, and that you guys will be able to use it. I'm hoping the report's going to be able to be used by you guys to, how do I say this, used for higher up agendas like the state and stuff, so that you guys can get grants approved for the county, like fundings, like for instance a new welfare system that's not for 1950 but 2022 and can help everyone, middle class, everyone. What I'm asking is that we change the welfare system. I'll be fast about this. Like I said, the report's not done. So, unfortunately, we'll have to wait till next month. I should have it completed by next month. But anyways, fast story short, I just wanted to get a hold of the, I guess, whoever the accountants are, whatever they were just talking about, that might be the people that I need to work with. I don't know how to do that outside of this office. So how do we go about that? Or is there some way I can go about that?
I can work with you and let you know who to contact. So
thank you. Because I do I give you my number now or do I do it?
We'll do it during one of the breaks, don't we?
Okay, yeah. And so the fast thing is that I created this thing. It's called the Siskiyou County Sea Plan. And that's all I can say for right now because I don't want to ruin the report for you guys. But fastly, it will be a welfare system that helps people like, for instance, I'll give you a fast example. Somebody like that works, per se, like even you. Okay, if you worked and you decided that your income is one thing and you have proof of it, and your bills are one thing and you have proof of it, you could walk in the welfare office and say, well, I have my one car, I have my rent, I have my three children, I have whatever. And they can say, okay, we've looked at this. We see that your bills are exactly to the dollar of what you make and you're doing the best that you can, da 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 da. We're going to now help you with whatever they feel that you need the help with for a 6-month amount of time to get you back on your feet. And just fastly, for instance, like I know families right now, like I'll just use an example. One family is paying every dollar they have towards their car payment, their rent and everything. So that leaves them dollarless all month long. And there's no money for underwear. There's no money for clothing. There's no money for gas. There's no money for anything. And so anyways, long story short, that's something about the new welfare system I'm putting in place. And then there's about 8 other things about homelessness that we need to be. But I hear that you guys are working on that, something about a homeless shelter. But this will all be in the report so you guys can address it better later. But we were all, requesting all that. So there should be about 8 things in here about homelessness stuff that you guys can ask the state to fund so that you can get buildings and stuff built here to help us out.
Thank you. Any rebuttals? We go rebuttals by proponents or opponents. Miss Wendy, I know this is we'll do the final budget later on. Do I close this hearing or continue?
No, we can close this one.
Close this one. All right. I'll close the hearing. Discussion and questions by board members.
I found it.
Okay. General Guardian Administrator. It is general fund. Sorry. Okay. Can you explain that to me? And it is Health and Human Services Agency Administrator. That's what it falls under.
What page do you have?
Lord.
If you look up at the top, it should give you a PDF page number.
That's 26. Thank you. It's in the budget worksheet report.